Amen.
In the name of him for whom John prepared the way. The day of our text was a very momentous day in the life of the aged Zechariah. He had that privilege to be chosen by lot to burn incense at the altar of incense in the temple during the solemn hour of prayer. This was a privilege which many of his contemporaries would never have. And this could well have been the climactic experience of his life. But there was much more to come. Zechariah poured the incense on the glowing coals on the golden altar of incense. And then the aroma of the incense wafted its way heavenward, symbolizing that God would accept the prayers of his people as the aroma of the incense was pleasing to the sense of smell. The people outside were praying, our text tells us, and that was true of the priest Zechariah. But we ask, what was the content of this prayer? And very simply, it would be that the redemption of God's covenant people might soon come, or to put it in a more succinct way, when, O Lord, will you send the Messiah? And God sent the angel Gabriel, as we learn from the later verse of our text, to give Zacharias the answer. But for the moment, and for some time to come, only Zacharias would know that the answer had come from God, that the messianic age was soon to dawn. The forerunner of whom the prophets Isaiah and Malachi had spoken would soon make his appearance. And wonders of wonders, despite their old age, he would be the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and thereby his birth would remove the shame of being a childless couple. This son would be a great prophet, like the Elijah of old, in the language of Malachi 4, in the final chapter of the Old Testament. In him, God's Spirit would return again to the covenant land, and mighty things would take place through the message that this son, that this Old Testament prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophets, as it were, would bring to God's covenant people. God told Zechariah through the angel that Zechariah should name this son John, and that is important because the name John means the Lord is gracious. It would be John's mission to bring the message of God's grace to the people of Palestine and those who travel through this land, and there were many, to prepare the people for the coming of the messianic age. And hence, as Gabriel stated so emphatically in verses 16 and 17, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read in our text, and he will bring many in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of him with the spirit and power of Elijah to move fathers to love their children and the disobedient to think as righteous men, and so to get a people thoroughly prepared for the Lord. Or if we turn to the latter part of the beautiful song of Zechariah, we know it as a Benedictus. We read in verses 76 to 79 as follows, and you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare the way for him, to tell his people that they can be saved by the forgiveness of their sins, because our God is merciful, and will let a heavenly sun rise among us to shine on those who sit in the dark and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. The peace of which Zechariah spoke was not that peace for which the Jews of his time yearned, but it was that peace that which was gained by being reconciled with God through the Messiah who would give himself be a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Or as St. Paul later on writes in 2 Corinthians, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, to make us God's righteousness in him. The years hastened away. Somewhat around 30 years passed by, and then John made his appearance at the Jordan River in a busy place, where the nations crossed the Jordan to make their way across the west bank of Palestine. And his message that he brought to these myriads of people who had a chance to hear him was a very emphatic one. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Now we know that his contemporaries thought of the kingdom of heaven as that glorious, wonderful reign of the Messiah on earth. And specifically, he would come for those who were ethnically members of God's covenant people. But John's message was a very emphatic repent. What he was saying then is that the accident of birth was in no way helpful. The heart attitude was tremendously important. Yes, was all decisive. It would determine what would happen to that person as he reacted to the message of John. Basically, only those who in penitent faith looked to God for forgiveness would be part of this kingdom. No wonder then that the message of John caused such a stir, even causing the Jewish council to send a subpoena committee to the Jordan to interrogate John to see what his message was and who had authorized him to bring such a very unique and such a different message. The four Gospels tell us that many people came to hear John, and many of these who repented and were baptized by him. And we should note that among them were some of the first disciples of Jesus. In fact, John pointed Jesus out to Jesus' future disciples as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And it would be these disciples who would be God's sent messengers after his resurrection to bring this message of peace and forgiveness through Christ to the length and breadth of this, our world. Later, John the Baptist told his disciples, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. And thereby, John tried to convey to them the very special meaning of his role. He, John, was not the promised one in the sense of being the Messiah. He was not important. Only the message that he brought was important. The role that he was to play, and that role had almost come to an end. That role was important, but he, John, as a person, in no way was at all important. And Jesus comments on that to his disciples later on. You and I, in a way, are those who are servants of God, either in training or those who have had the privilege to be that for some time. To be messengers of God's grace is a tremendous privilege. That God deigns to use us is an expression of his grace and mercy towards us. But you and I also always need to remember the words of St. John, of the John the Baptizer, when he says, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. We need to remember at all times that you and I are not important, but the message that you and I are privileged to bring is of decisive and tremendous importance. May we always remember that. May you and I always remember remain humble and grateful servants of God, deeply concerned to be faithful to that message, to bring it clearly, plainly, courageously, and also, let's not forget, very winsomely, to as many people as possible. We pray that your and my motto, as we live it in life, will always be, as people read us with whom we come into contact, that Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. Amen.